We continue now with Maseches Beitzah, Daf Yud Aleph from Beis, the Mishnah, which is found about 7-8 lines from the top of the page. The Mishnah now discusses another machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel regarding the laws of Yomtiv. This is a Mishnah that was referred to earlier on Daf Yud Aleph. Says the Mishnah, Beis Shammai Yomrim, Ein Mesalkin es Hatreisin beYomtiv. A person may not remove window shutters, which were used by vendors for their merchandise on Yomtiv. We explained earlier that these shutters, these treisin, would be used to secure the store in the evening, and in the daytime they would be removed and would have another function. They would serve as trays upon which the vendors would place their merchandise and sell their wares throughout the day. So Beis Shammai says it is prohibited to remove these window shutters on Yom Tov. Beis Hillel say that it is mutter, af lahachzir, not only to remove them, lechatchila, but even to return them when the day is over, and it's necessary to put them back in their place where they were beforehand. So Beis Hillel will say that this is permissible on Yom Tov. We cited Rashi previously in Daf Yudam Aleph, which explained that even though normally business is prohibited on Yom Tov, in a situation where a vendor is going to open his store and people who know him, acquaintances, people who have a relationship with him will come and take that which they need for Yom Tov, and make arrangements after Yom Tov in order to pay him, that is permissible. Obviously, there can be no exchange of money, and there's no discussion of prices, but to just have such an arrangement is technically permissible on Yom Tov. And it's within that context that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel argue about the technicalities of removing and then returning these treisin into where they came. So the Gemara now discusses the details of this Mishnah. My treisin, what type of shutters is the Mishnah referring to? So Amar Ula, treisei chanuyos. We're talking over here about, as we explained already, the shutters that were used in the stores of these particular vendors. And specifically, says Rashi, chanuyos kamo tevosein. They were like these separate stalls, v'omdos b'shuk. They would stand in the marketplace, they would be placed there, v'einan mechubaros l'karka. And they were not attached to the ground. So we're not talking about actual stores in which they would take these shutters and remove them from the walls, from the windows. Rather, these were shutters that were placed on these small stalls that were separate from the actual buildings. V'amr Ula, and Ula continued, Shlosha devarim hitiru sofan mishum tchilasan. There are three cases where Chachamim permitted one to do something sofan mishum tchilasan. In other words, they allowed one to do something at the end, at the completion, at the final phase of a process, because of concern that if they would not allow them to do it b'sofan, so they would refrain from doing it b'tchilasan. And we want people to do it b'tchilasan initially, and so therefore it is permitted b'sofan. Be'elohein, and these are the three cases, or lefnei hadarsin, placing a hide in a place where it will be trampled upon, which was the case that we discussed in the previous Mishnah. Utreisei chanuyos, replacing the shutters that are found in these special stalls that the vendors used. And finally, a case that we had not yet seen, v'chazaras retia b'mikdash, when a kohen in the Beis HaMikdash would need to replace a dressing on a wound, so returning it, replacing the dressing would be permissible as well. The details of this will be discussed shortly. Rashi tells us already a little bit about this case of the retia. Rashi d'vimaschal b'mikdash, l'kohen shalaka b'yado, we're talking over here about a kohen who has an injury in his hand, v'tzarech labar avoda. And he has to engage in the avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. Velito retio mi'al yado shelotei chatzitza ben yado lavoda. And he has to remove this bandage from his hand because there cannot be any chatzitza, anything which separates between the hand of the Kohen and that which it is that he is doing as part of the avoda. There cannot be any chatzitza whatsoever. So machzir haretia lachar avoda. So the din is that he may go ahead and return to place back the bandage afterwards. Again, even on Shabbos, the lo sharis le'lachzir lo shakli meikara, because if we do not allow him to return it afterwards, we are concerned he will not remove it initially, and the concern for there being a chatzitza, which would definitely be a psul, would invalidate the avoda, is greater than the concern for potential chilul Shabbos, which is not necessary over here. Normally, this type of maintenance of a wound would be prohibited on Shabbos, but in this case, it was permissible, again, sofan mishum tchilasan. It was permissible to go ahead and put it back because of concern that if we did not, he would not have removed it in the first place. The Gemara now continues with another case. V'rachava Amar Reb Yehuda, afa posea chaviso, even one who opens a barrel, maschul bisaso, and starts a new batch of dough, agav harego, for the purpose of yomtiv, v'alibid Reb Yehuda, and according to the opinion of Reb Yehuda, the Amar Yigmar, who says that he may finish. So this last case certainly requires some clarification, some background. So Rashi explains that an Amo Aretz, a person who is an ignorant individual and is not well-versed in the particular laws of Halacha, so there is a general gzeira, the Chazal made, that any food that is touched by an Amo Aretz is going to be Tamei. We assume that he has not handled it properly and he has not followed the laws and the restrictions necessary in order to maintain food in a state of Tahara. And so therefore, as a general rule, any food that is touched by an Amo Aretz is considered to be Tamei. However, this particular gzeira does not apply to Yomtif. When it comes to a Yomtif, food that is touched by an Amo Aretz is not going to be considered Tamei. So this particular case is dealing with a chaver, who is a learned individual, an individual who is very careful and very medaktik when it comes to the handling of food, and certainly knows how to handle things in a way that they retain their status of Tahara. And he's a merchant. He's a person who sells food during the Yom Tov. So the case over here is regarding a chaver who sells food on Yom Tov. The halacha is that it remains in its original state of Tahara, even though once he sells it and it gets handled and passed around from one person to the next, it's certainly impossible that it would have been handled by Amaya Aretz. But since we said the gzeira, that everything that an Amaya Aretz touches becomes Tameh, does not apply in Yom Tov, so we say that the status of the food in this case is such that it retains its initial status of Tahara. And the case that we're talking about over here is specifically the status of the food after Yom Tov, the leftovers. So Yehuda's position over here is that a merchant may go ahead and sell any leftover merchandise that he has, even to a chaver. And this leniency, this heter, is based on the concept of sofon mishum tchilasan. Namely, that if a merchant is concerned that he would not be able to be permitted to finish selling his wine and his baked goods after Yom Tov, which again in this case is the sofan, so then we're concerned that he may be reluctant to even open a new batch in the first place, which is what we mean over here, tchilasan. And that's going to, the end result that will be, that is going to be difficult for people to access food which is needed for the Yom Tov. And so therefore, Yehuda says, we allow sofan mishum tchilasan, we allow this merchant to sell any of the leftovers to a chaver even after Yom Tov, as long as he is sure that an Amo Aretz did not touch the food after Yom Tov. Because the idea that the gezeira, that anything that an Amo Aretz touches becomes tamei, is suspended. It's only suspended on Yom Tov itself, not afterwards. And so therefore, Yehuda says, hitiru sofan mishum tchilasan, we allow him to go ahead and open up a new barrel of wine, and go ahead and to start a new batch of dough and sell it. And then he may then go ahead and take the leftovers and sell it to a chaver even after Yom Tov, because again, we are allowing sofan mishum tchilasan. The Chachamim disagree. This is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. The Chachamim say no, that once Yom Tov is over, so we would not allow the merchant anymore to sell any of the leftovers to a chaver, because we are concerned that at some point over Yom Tov, it was handled by an Amo Aretz. It's true the Chachamim agree that on Yom Tov itself, there's no gezeira that everything that the Amo Aretz touches is going to become tamei. But once Yom Tov is over, we no longer allow the merchant to go ahead and to sell these leftover wares to a chaver. So now the Gemara goes back to the first part of the statement of Ula, where Ula taught that there are three cases: Sosho Shavarim, Hetiru Sofan, Mishum Tchilasa. So the first one was Or Lufnei Hadarsin. So the Gemara wants to know Or Lufnei Hadarsin. Why is it that Ula mentions the case of Orlov Neyadosin, of placing the hide in a place where it was going to be trampled upon? After all, Tanina, we had already learned that in the Mishnah. That was the Mishnah we learned on Yoram and Aleph. So it sounds like Ula is teaching us some big Chiddush over here. It's not a Chiddush, we already knew that. So says the Gemara, Ma'u Deteima, perhaps you would have thought, Ha'mayu Beis Hillel, Mishum Dechazi L'mizgalai. Maybe the reason for Beis Hillel's heter is because a hide, an or, is something which you could sit on. V'afilu mi'erv yomtif nami. And so therefore, perhaps even before Yom Tov, if you shechted an animal and you have the or beforehand, you're still permitted to go ahead and to place it b'makom shedorsin on Yom Tov. Kamash Malan comes along, Beis Hillel, and teaches, no, hitiru sofan mishum tchilasan. The only reason why the Rabbanim permit the sofan, placing the or b'makom shedorsin, mishum tchilasan, that we're concerned that they were going to be reluctant in the first place to shech the animal on Yom Tov. the Yom Tov in, the Erev Yom Tov Lo. That the only heter over here to go ahead and to place the oil of Fnei Adarsin is when the Shechita and the skinning of the animal was done on Yom Tov. But if it was done before Yom Tov, so then the din is that it cannot be placed but Makom Shadarsin. So Ulus Chiddush over here is that the basis of the heter of Beis Hillel is not Mishum Dechazi L'Mizgalayim, because it is right to sit on, as we had seen according to some previously stated in the Gemara. Rather, the whole basis of the heter over here is Sofar Mishum Tchilasan, which means that the only heter over here is a case where it was shechted and flayed on Yom Tov as opposed to beforehand. Continues the Gemara, Treisi Chanuyas Nami Tanina. Why is it that Ula had to teach that there were three things that Chazal permitted Sofar Mishum Tchilasan, and then mentions one of them as Treisi Chanuyas, that was also learned in the Mishnah. That's our Mishnah right here. So what's Ula's Chiddush? It says over here, Beis Hillel Matir Nafla Hafzir. We know that the Mishnah tells us that Beis Hillel permit you to remove these shutters and to return them. And so therefore, what is the Chiddush of Ulus? It says the Gemara Mal Dutema, perhaps you would have thought, Hamayu the Beis Hillel, the whole reason for the Beis Hillel's Heter is Mishum Den Bin Bin Kalim, Bin Yisdira Bin Kalim, that it's true that there's a Malacha on Yom Tov and on Shabbos of Bonet and Selser, that one is not permitted to go ahead and build, and one cannot demolish previously existing structures. But perhaps, according to Beis Hillel, that rule does not extend to Kalim. It only applies to non-movable objects. But something which can be moved from one place to the other, it doesn't apply. And therefore, vafilu debatim nami, not only when it comes to these small little stalls in the middle of the street, but even when it comes inside the home, you can go ahead and remove and replace shutters at will. So Kamash Malan comes along, Ula, and says, no, the whole basis for Beis Hillel's heter is shitiru sofar mishum tchilasan. The only reason why we permit you in this particular case to return to replace the shutters is because if we don't allow you to replace them, then you're not going to remove them in the first place, and that is going to interfere with the ability to facilitate Simchas Yom Tov. So the Chanuyah is in the bottom low. Therefore, the whole heter of removing and restoring these shutters is only true when it comes to these stalls, these small stalls that are in the middle of the street. However, inside the homes, such maintenance in the home, such removal and restoration of these shutters is not going to be permissible on Yom Tov. And so Ulus Chiddush is that the basis of the Heter of Beis Hillel is not because they hold, as a general rule, in Binyan Bekelim and Estir Bekelim, rather, it's because of Sofan Mishum Tchilasam. Continues the Gemara and asks, Chazaras V'tiyah B'mikdash Nami Tanina. Even Ula's statement that for a Kohen to be able to go ahead and to place the dressing back on top of a wound is permissible. The mikdash, that's also a mishnah. It said in the mishnah, machzir and retiyah b'mikdash of alo b'medina, that a person can go ahead and replace a dressing to a wound in the mikdash, in the temple, but not outside of the temple, not outside of the base of mikdash. So here as well, why is it necessary for Ula to go ahead and to teach something which is found explicitly in the mishnah? So says the Gemara Mal Detema, perhaps you would have thought that the basis of this heter is taima mishum de'ein shvos b'mikdash. Because as a general rule, anything which is prohibited midrabanan, when we have a gezeira derabanan, that something is prohibited on Shabbos, so that's not going to apply in the mikdash. So therefore, afilu kohen, the lav bar avodahu. So even the kohen, who is not actively involved in the avoda, perhaps he, as long as he's in the makam of mikdash, so he as well can go ahead and return a retiyah to go ahead and to replace the dressing on Shabbos. Kamash Malan comes along and says, no, hitiru sofa mishum tchilasan. The only reason why the Rabbanan permit you to go ahead and return the retiyah, the dressing, to the wound and to replace it, is because they were concerned that the Kohen would not remove it in the first place, and that would then constitute a chatzis on the avod. Then that would be a serious problem. So it's only hitiru sofa mishum tchilasan, the baravoda in the lav baravoda lo. When it comes to a baravoda, who would be considered a baravoda, Kohen, so then he's permitted to go ahead and to replace the dressing on Yom Tov or Shabbos, but a Kohen not, I'm sorry, but a Kohen who is not involved in the avoda at that particular moment, so he may not go ahead and replace the dressing. Continues the Gemara, and discusses similarly this case that's added by Rechava, right? With three cases of Sofa Meshum Tchilasan according to Ula, and then Rechava added another one. Poseachas Chavisa Nami Tamina. This case, allowing a merchant to go ahead and open a new barrel of wine on Yom Tov, so this is also found in the Mishnah. Mishnah states, Poseachas Chaviso, Maschel Bisaso Agavaregel. A merchant can go ahead, and if he goes ahead and opens a barrel of wine and begins a new dough, which is going to be sold during Yom Tov, Rabbi Yehuda says, Yigmar, he can even finish selling it after Yom Tov. Chachamim Amrim lo Yigmar. The Chachamim say he may not. So again, why is it necessary for Rechava to teach that this is something which is a heter, as if there's some chiddush? What do you mean? The Mishnah tells us that this is mutter. So says the Gemara, Mal d'tema, were it not for Rechava's teaching, perhaps he would have said the following: that according to Rabbi Yehuda, tumas amoretz biregel kitahara shavu rabbanon. That the rabbanon basically say, as a general rule, that anything that would normally be considered tuma generated by an amoretz is automatically treated like tahara on a yomtiv, and so therefore anything that is touched, that is handled by an amoretz on yomtiv, is automatically considered to be tahar and can be sold afterwards. The afa gaftalov hischal nami, even in a case where whoever was selling this did not open it on Yom Tov, even when it was open for Yom Tov, it would still, as a general rule, we say that Tuma is that anything that Amoritz handles on Yom Tov is going to be considered to be in a state of Tatara. So Kamash Malan comes along and Chabi says, no, he was so from Meshum Tchilasan. The only reason why we're lenient in this particular case is because we're concerned if we did not allow him to sell the leftovers after Yom Tov, then he will be reluctant to open a new barrel or to start a new dough on Yom Tov. So hitchil in, so this is only true in the case where he started selling it on Yom Tov, lo hitchil lo. But if he had not yet started it on Yom Tov, so then we do not extend his heter. In other words, so Rechava's chiddush is the basis of Rebbe's heter is not, because as a general rule, we say across the board, tumas amoretz beregel katara shavi rabbanon. It's not always true, but we do extend the special leniency in this case because we want the merchants to be not to hesitate, if necessary, to open a new barrel of wine or to start a new batter of dough in order to facilitate again the needs of those who need this food on Yom Tov. So says the Gemara of Ula, my time lo amar ha. Why did Ula not count this particular case as one of his? He says shlosh dvarim, comes along Rechava and says as a fourth. So says the Gemara, why is it that Ula did not include this in his list? So says the Gemara, but plukta lo kamayri. Ula is not discussing cases which are a subject of machlokes. Over here, since the Rabbanan argue and Rabbi Yehuda's kula, so therefore it is not included. Says, what do you mean? Hanachnami plugtinu. All of these cases are a subject of machlokes. After all three cases that Ula mentioned are machlokes between Beishamai and Bishillel. So says the Gemara, Beishamai b'makam Bishillel ain the Mishnah. The opinion of Beishamai in a case where it's disputed by Bishillel is not considered, what does it mean? It's not a Mishnah, meaning it's not considered to be of such an authority. As opposed to the case where you have machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan, so certainly the shita of Rabbi Yehuda, while significant, is within the context of that machlokas, so then we cannot discount the position of the Rabbanan. So therefore, Ulu did not mention such a case. He was not talking about the shita of a Yochid, Eitzel, the Rabbim. Over here, however, Machlokas Beisham Bishillel. So, listen, the bottom line is we know the halacha follows Bishillel. That is considered to be the primary Shita. And so, therefore, Ula mentioned that, even though it's true, Beisham Bishillel argue in these particular cases, it's like there's no Machlokas, because Beisham and Malcolm Bishillel ain't a Mishnah. So, the Gemara now concludes over here by continuing the discussion on the case in the Mishnah. The case in our Mishnah, Beisham Bishillel argue about the case of Tracin. So says the Gemara, Masnis and Deloki Haitana. Our Mishnah does not follow the position which is found over here in this Braisa. The Tanya, we learn in the Braisa, Amar Rav Shimon ben Elazar, Modin Beisham Beisillel Shemasalkin Asat Tracin Beyomtiv. Beisham Beisillel agree that a person may remove the Tracin, the shutters, on Yomtiv. Lo Nechluku Ela Lahachzir. The whole Machlokas between Beisham Beisillel is regarding restoring them, replacing them afterwards. Shebashama Yomim Ein Machzirin. Beisillel will say, Af Machzir. Beisham say, you cannot replace them. Bishillel will say, you can. That's very different than our Mishnah, because our Mishnah says, Ein Mesalkin, according to Beishamai, you cannot remove them. However, this Brisa, according to the position of Rav Shimon Elazar, say, the Beishamai and Bishillel say, you can remove them. The whole machlokas over here is whether you may replace them afterwards. Continues the Brisa, Bamed Devarim Amurim, when is this so? When did these particular, when does this machlokas apply? Bishayesh Lehen Tzir, in a case where the shutters have tzir, which are pivots. Aval ein lahem tzir de b'yakol mutter. However, in a case where the shutters are not attached by pivots, so that everybody is going to agree that it is permissible chachila to go ahead and to remove them and to replace them. Now the Gemara says, wait a second, v'atanya, didn't we learn in another braisa, not like this. It says, v'amed v'var mamurim, when is it true that Beisham v'yisil argue about removing the tracin b'she'ein lahem tzir, in a case where there are no pivots. Aval yesh lahem tzir, but if there are pivots, de b'yakol usser. Everybody, even Beis Hillel, agree that it is usser. And so therefore, we have two conflicting versions over here in the Brisa as to whether or not the the tzir, the fact that there's a pivot in the place, in the shara, in the tracin, whether that is something which is still a subject of a machlokes or not. So comes along Abaye and he resolves this apparent contradiction. In the case where there is a tzir, there is a pivot on the side of the shutter, so everybody's in agreement, Bishambi Silel, that it is going to be usa to remove the tracin. Rashi explains that when there's a tzir on the side, so this is something which is very similar to the kind which is used in buildings. And so therefore, even Beis Hillel are concerned in this particular case that removing and restoring these types of tracin on Yom Tov is going to be a problem. Eim lahem tzir kol ikor divya kol muter. In a case where the shutters have no pivot at all, in other words, they're just placed in that location, and they're not held in place by any particular tzir, any pivot, so then everybody's agreement that it's permissible to go ahead to remove and to replace these shutters. Ki pligi b'shiyesh len tzir be'emtza. The whole machlokas between Bisham and Beis Hillel is when there is a tzir be'emtza in the middle. In this particular case, when you're dealing with a tzir be'emtza, so first of all, this is an unusual type of situation, so therefore it doesn't resemble an act of bona in the first place, and it's not as likely that a person is going to try to place it with to secure it in place, because after all, it's not going to be so secure anyhow. So in this particular case, as the Gemara on the top of Yibbeis Amad Aleph, Mar Sava, according to one opinion, position of Beis Shammai, Gazrinon Tzir Be'emtza Atu Tzir Min Atzad, that we are goza, that you cannot go ahead and to reinsert the shutter, the tracin, which has a Tzir Be'emtza, a pivot in the middle, because this would lead to doing the same thing when it comes to a tracin with Tzir Min Atzad, one on the side, Mar Sava Lo Gazrinon. And the position of the other individual, the other mandiom over here, Beis Hillel, holds that we do not make such a gezeira, and we say that there's a difference between tracin that have tzir menatzad and tzir be'emtza. So we see now that there's really no contradiction between these two brisos. Brisos are talking about two different cases. One brisa which tells us that there is a machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, the makom shiyesh tzir, that's talking about a tzir shebe'emtza. And the other brisa which tells us that there is no machlokas, but the makom shiyesh tzir, that's talking about a tzir min hatzad.